Ephesians 1:1, and I'm just going to adapt it slightly. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints at Cromwell Road, and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Be encouraged. We've already encouraged one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts. Wow, to God. Paul talks in Galatians 5, and we've commented many times that, you know, Paul uses the athlete, and he says, "You ran well." And I thought, what an appropriate verse for all that we've seen in the last week. You ran well. The scripture is to bless us, to encourage us, to maybe admonish us, to instruct us, to teach us. So my question is, in response to Paul saying you ran well, are we still running well? Because the verse goes on to say, who hindered you from obeying the truth? And we know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. You know, it's all about what our relationship with the Lord Jesus is today, right now, at this very moment. Not in a few hours' time, not yesterday, right now. You know, as we emerge from this pandemic, albeit some of us more tentatively than others, do we wear a mask? Don't we wear a mask? And you think, it's not me that I'm wearing the mask for. But I believe, you know, at this time, we need to recalibrate, to take stock as we emerge from the pandemic, to consider whether our lives are ordered by our will or his, the Lord Jesus. You know, our fears or his strength, our anxiety or his peace. Where are we? You know, days turn into months and you haven't got a clue. Well, did I do that last week or last month? Well, it might have been last year and I'm not sure. We need to recalibrate, because Ephesians 4 tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Romans 12 puts it this way: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. That is, you might walk worthy of the calling by which we are called. Paul says to the Galatians, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. That your mind is the mind of Christ Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, it's already been said this morning, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. God is for us and not against us. You know, Kate encouraged us at the beginning of the COVID-19 to be still and know that I am God. And I believe that whatever we think or feel today, God is at work in us. You believe that? God is at work in us. And if that's true, what is he trying to say? What is his will for us as individuals and as a fellowship here? And do we stand abandoned to his will in our daily lives and experience? Do we seek the will of the Lord Jesus as our absolute and vital necessity? To know what he's saying? To know where he wants to lead us? to know what he wants to do with our lives. You know, we sing that chorus, don't we? To know him, is the cry of my heart. Spirit, reveal him to me. To hear what he's saying brings life to my bones. To know him alone. And it struck me that an example of bringing life to your bones is when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. You know, before that, they were hard-pressed. The Egyptians were coming across the desert to them. There were mountains on one side and the river that they couldn't cross in front of them. And God made a way where there was no way. And Moses came out the other side, and what did he do? He sang, and he danced, and he rejoiced to such an extent that Miriam joined. What a rejoicing. They saw things they'd never, ever seen before. They'd come out of Egypt with all the miracles, all the plagues of Egypt. But they were up against it, and God made a way. He opened the Red Sea that they could cross over on dry ground. And I thought, wow, would that bring life to my bones? I'd be singing and dancing. I would be singing the song of the Lord. I would be just beside myself. You know, a bit like, I believe, when I was baptized in the Spirit, I was just overwhelmed at what God was doing in my life. And it's good to remind ourselves sometimes, you know, there has been times in our lives where we've been wholly abandoned to the Lord Jesus, that his love might know no bounds in our lives, that we know that we are forgiven, that we are the redeemed of the Lord. You know, to hear what God's saying, to know his will in and for our lives at this particular junction in time, I believe today is important. What is God saying? What does the future hold? And is it one that we are or have sought to know the will of God for in his leading? You know, or do we adopt the view that it'll all work out okay because this is what I plan to do? You know, Psalm says, Selah, pause and calmly think about that. Is this what I want to do with my life? Or is it what God wants to do with my life? Now, at this time, we've got people finishing university, people at university, well, virtual university, coping with the pandemic. We've got people waiting for exam results to know whether and which university they go to. We've got others who are waiting for GCSE results to know what the future holds for them in terms of whether they're going to do A-levels and whether they're going to go on to university or what they're going to do. This is a very peculiar time, but I can't get past the fact that God's got a plan and a purpose. He's got a will for you and me. You know, we need to pray for our young people. The decisions they make today will not only affect their future, but also the future of other people. We don't make decisions in a vacuum. We think we do, but in every decision we make, it impacts other people. You know, when people are successful, everybody wants to rejoice, don't they? Far easier to rejoice than be sorrowful. But Ephesians 1, fun. Let me go back to that. Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. You know, Paul knew that it was God's will for him to be an apostle. God had turned his life upside down. As we heard just now, you know, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He upheld the law. He persecuted Christians. But he can say it was the will of God for him that he should be an apostle. You know, is that something we're prepared for? Or will even accept if it's not what we want? You know, it says in Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." God's will for Paul, God's will for any of us, is that we might edify the body, that we might build up the body of Christ. Not that I've got a position or a status or a title, but God's will for us is to build up the body of Christ and proclaim his name everywhere, at every opportunity, to be abandoned to the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to accept the will of God. Quite often when it doesn't fit into our life plan, lovely word. I'm not sure how we can have a life plan when, because Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary for us, we have eternity. So where do we have a life plan? Because our life is eternity. Interesting prospect. So what is God calling us? What is his will for you and for me today? You know, verse 5 of Ephesians talks about the good pleasure of his will. God's good pleasure. You know, it was God's good pleasure that we were chosen, not only chosen, but adopted into the family of God. No longer forsaken, but drawn close to him, that we might share with him the fact that when he was raised from the dead, the power that raised him from the dead is in us. Does that make a difference to our lives? In verse 11 it says, the counsel of his will. The counsel of his will. God decided his perfect plan and purposes for our lives from before the foundation of the earth. You believe that? Not just 2,000 years ago, not 72 years ago, not when we were in the womb, but before that, God knew what he wanted for us. His plans and purposes. You know, what do we know? We know God's plans and purposes. We know God's plans and purposes. As it says in Peter, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, remember when I said to the man that we're a chosen people, and he said to me, just remember who did the choosing and don't be so cocky. Because God said he's not willing for any to perish. And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, but the second is like this. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And on these hang all the law and the prophets. God loves us. He wants us to be in relationship to him. He wants us to delight in the fact that we are forgiven. It says in Ephesians 1:15, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And it just struck me, you know, do we give thanks for one another constantly? we're brought into a family in this place, a fellowship in this place, not necessarily by our choosing. But do we thank the Lord that we've got brothers and sisters who love the Lord Jesus and love us and are committed to each other? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. To have our eyes enlightened that we might see, not just hearing with our ears, but seeing with our eyes, seeing with our hearts, knowing in our mind God's perfect will for us. And it says in Proverbs 3, doesn't it? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And has he done that in your life thus far? Has he done that in my life thus far? You know, it's good looking back. It's more difficult looking forward. What's God's will for me today? What's God's will for my life? Where does he want me? What does he want me to do? Does he want me to go to university? Does he want me to get a job? What? You know? I think it's more complicated now than it was when I left school at 10:30 on one summer's morning after I finished my last exam. I walked out through the gate. I'd left school. What was I going? I didn't have a clue. God's gracious and his mercy to me had a plan. I couldn't have dreamt what that plan was. You know, you say for all the tea in China, but I couldn't. I didn't have a clue what God was going to do with me, where he was going to take me. You know, I didn't do the equivalent of GCSEs. The only thing that interested me at school was rugby. God had a plan. He equips the saints. He takes the things that are not and makes them into the things that are. God's grace knows no bounds. But the challenge, I believe the challenge of the word asked us, are we completely surrendered, sold out to Jesus? Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? And are we being filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis? Because the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. Jesus said, we've got an inheritance marked out for us. And the Holy Spirit's the guarantee of that. No doubt, no question, God's plan for us, our inheritance in the saints, is marked out for us. What is the assurance and the encouragement of God's perfect will? Is that both now and in the ages to come, he will show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Why us? Why us? Scripture says, for grace, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. You say, well, you've got to have faith. Well, God gives us faith. But we want grace, but God gives us grace. You know, it's all of God. Ours is to respond. He gives us faith that we might believe. He gives us faith that we might have trust in a God we don't see, a God who intervenes in the affairs of men, who makes a way where there's no way, who is a God like unto our God. There's no one, you know. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in. There's good works, and God's taking me there. There's a plan. 2 Corinthians 2 says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge everywhere." Jesus' will for us knows no bounds. And as he unfolds that will to us, as long as we seek him and as long as we're willing, you know, it might be as we learn to recognize the voice of God, to hear that whisper, not an audible voice, a chance comment, something we read that comes alive to us. You know, Ephesians have blessed Ken for a long, long time. Why am I reading from Ephesians? Because I read it a couple of weeks ago and it came alive to me in a way it never has before. And it just thrilled me that God is for us and not against us. And his plans and purposes will be worked out in our lives as individuals, as a fellowship, so that we can spread abroad the fragrance of his love. Amen. Heavenly Father, make us available. Make us wholly available. Make us abandoned to you that nothing else will compare with a walk with you. Excitement, Lord Jesus, just as those on the road to Emmaus when they realized that it was you. What a thrill. They ran back to Jerusalem. Oh, Lord, burn in our hearts afresh. Anoint us anew that the joy of the Lord may be our portion and that we may show your love everywhere, for your glory, not of us, but of all of you. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you, brothers and sisters.